When is he going to start speaking? That silence, that absence of sound, can be a very good thing for us. I don't really like horror movies. I watch them sometimes, but I don't really like them. And that eerie silence can be very effective in those movies, keeping us on the edge of our seat. I'm sure all of us have had moments of awkward silence in our lives. Pause in the conversation and you wish someone would just say something. We also should be aware of that sacred silence in our daily lives and in this liturgy, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Having that purposeful, sacred silence where we can be alone with the Lord and we can hear Him speak to us. We're instructed we should have some silence before Mass. Within it, before the penitential rite to recall our sins, within the liturgy of the word, after receiving Holy Communion, a period of some sacred silence, and hopefully after Mass to remain in our pew, you know, kneel there and offer a thanksgiving in the silence, you know, communing with God who just entered into us in Holy Communion. That silence is so good for us, and we need it more than we know. And within it, we can see a couple different aspects that point us to the Lord. The first is, it gives us an opportunity for wonder and awe. That wonderful gift that we're given at baptism and is increased in us in confirmation. This gift of wonder and awe increases our sense of respect in the presence of an all-powerful and loving God. Sometimes it's called fear of the Lord. Not a servile fear, but an understanding of who we are and who God is. This wonder and awe. We can often experience wonder and awe with like beautiful sights. A beautiful sunset at the beach. A beautiful sunrise at the beach, depending on what coast you're at. Maybe, you know, camping out in the Smoky Mountains or something and just like a beautiful, you know, crisp fall morning. And you just want to sit there in silence. You feel very good. You feel very at one, you know, with the Lord. And we don't want to break that silence. That transfiguration that those apostles experienced was an opportunity for wonder and awe for them. In that silence, they saw Jesus transfigured. And that leads us to that second thing, where we want to break into that silence, break into that wonder and awe. Peter says, just starts, Lord, it's good that we are here. Let me make some tents. He doesn't know what to do. He wants to break up that silence a little bit. The second aspect of silence, this ultimate gift of wonder and awe we experience in the silence, we also experience our utter poverty, stripped of everything, sort of naked in front of the Lord. And we want to cover it up with chatter, with busyness, with activities. It can be so uncomfortable for us. We don't know what to do. These activities and this chatter with one another can fulfill us for a time, but ultimately it does leave us empty. In that silence, we can't face our inability to pray. We can't face our distractions. We don't want to face our wounds of memory or our imagination, our faults and our failures. And so we ignore it and we cover it up. This silence, the very silence where God wants to reach us, speak to us, and heal us. But we're too quick to cover it up. In solitude and being alone and poor before God, we see our true selves, and that can be hard to face. It can cause another type of fear that's not from the Lord, a fear that maybe we won't be loved like we want to be or like we deserve to be. Like somehow faced with all these things, all these faults and failings, all these wounds, that somehow the Lord isn't going to love us like we want to be loved, like we deserve to be loved. But in that sacred silence, right in that space, is where we can come to realize that we are loved into existence and held in existence, and that in our poverty, in our nothingness, God desires to fill us, transform us, transfigure us, to enter into his divine life, that love of the Holy Trinity. That transfiguration was an opportunity for wonder and awe, and it was an opportunity to transform the disciples from their poverty, to prepare them for what will come after the passion and death and resurrection of our Lord, that they too will rise with him. And as we think about some awesome sights and which bring us to silence, there is truly no more awesome sight than what we experience at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. If we truly believe it's the meeting of heaven and earth, this is an awesome sight. It brings us to that wonder and awe. Or looking upon our Lord in adoration in the Blessed Sacrament, transfixed, because that's truly his body and blood in that host. That is truly our Lord present before us. It inspires in us that wonder and awe, and hopefully inspires us to be quiet in front of him, knowing we don't need to say anything, just to listen to him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Be intentional about your sacred silence. That Matthew Kelly book we passed out at Christmas, that Resisting Happiness, he encourages us 15 minutes of silence a day. Not to necessarily plan for our day or think of what's coming ahead. Those things might come. Bring those to prayer. Bring those into that silence. If you're distracted about other things that you shouldn't be thinking about, you know, rein yourself back in. Pay attention to that 15 minutes of sacred silence and really try to listen. Don't try to do something like Peter. We'll make a tent for you, Lord. Listen. Especially before and after Mass. Can we enter into that sacred silence? Acknowledge your poverty, your fear, your nothingness in that sacred silence, knowing that no material things that you have can possibly help you at that time. Nothing can come to your defense. And our Lord wants us not to defend ourselves in that silence. Open ourselves so he can heal us. And all those areas, all those troubles, all those afflictions, you know, right there, he knows all these things. He's saying, you know, don't put up any walls. Don't put up any defenses. I know it's uncomfortable. I'll make it better. Appreciate that silence, especially in adoration. And encourage your youth in this silence, who are distracted by so many things. So many vocations are born in that sacred silence of adoring our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Our youth need to hear our Lord speaking to them, encouraging them, telling them, I can fulfill you with a religious vocation, a vocation to the priesthood. Don't be afraid of these things. And those of you who are married, who are in a vocation already, enter into silence in front of my Eucharistic face. I'll support you in your marriage. You have nothing to fear. Any trouble, any trial that comes into your vocation that you're living right now just needs a little bit of silence. Even if it's not in the presence of our Lord, if you can't get to the Adoration Chapel, some silence in your home. This is where the Lord wants to speak to you, wants to support you right in your vocation. He's not turning you into monks and cloistered nuns. He's asking for a little bit of silence so he can heal you. Appreciate just a little bit of that silence with the reassurance that you won't be found wanting, that our Lord will fulfill you, he will transform you, he will transfigure you into your divine life and invite you into that, and he will support you in all these things, and that when you come down from the mountain and have to face life's difficulties, you'll remember those good things. You'll remember that reassurance. You'll know that you've heard his voice. And you can press forward, knowing that another mountain will come.